As congregation, we confess our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Receive now the greeting of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Congregation, let us praise God by singing together from Psalm 95, stanzas 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Together with the Church of all times and places, let us now make profession of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. And after that, let us praise God with the words of doxology of hymn 8. So hymn 8 after the creed. And let each of you say with me in his heart as follows, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he arose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe a holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and a life everlasting. Amen. Congregation, let us draw near to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that we can worship your name this afternoon. To meet with you is a privilege for which we are very thankful. You in your grace and mercy come to meet with us, your covenant people, to build us up in our faith and trust in you. We thank you that every week we can also receive instruction from your word, the doctrines of your word as they have been confessed by the Church in the Heidelberg Catechism. We thank you that we can work in an orderly way through the rich doctrines of Scripture. Bless us this afternoon as we learn more about the day of rest that you have given us, that we may be encouraged in our weekly celebration. We pray that you will build each one of us up in our faith. Each one of us is in need of more growth in holiness and obedience, and we pray that also this worship service may be blessed to that end. Father, may your name be honored and glorified. Hear us in Christ's name alone. Amen. You now have opportunity to bring your thank offerings for the work of Children of Light, and after that we will sing together from Psalm 72, stanza 2. In connection with what we confess in Lord's Day 38 about what Scripture teaches about the fourth commandment, our Scripture reading this afternoon comes first of all from the beginning of our Bibles, from Genesis 1, the verses 26 through to 2, verse 3. And then we turn to the letter to the Hebrews, read chapter 4, the verses 1 through 10. So first of all, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 through to chapter 2, verse 3. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. Then God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "See, I have given you every herb that yields seed which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food." And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made. And indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. Turn now to the New Testament. We read from Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 through 10. Hebrews chapter 4. "Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest, as he has said, 'So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest.' Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. Again in this place, 'They shall not enter my rest.' Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience, again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, 'Today,' after such a long time as it has been said, 'Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts.' For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his work, as God did from his." So far, our scripture reading. In response to God's word and in preparation to listen to God's word proclaimed, let us sing, different from the liturgy sheet, Psalm 43, stanza 3. Psalm 43, stanza 3.
Thank you.
This afternoon we pay attention to what God has revealed, His word about the fourth commandment, as the church has summarized that, and we confess it in Lord's Day 38. And the fourth commandment, just by way of reminder, fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. And then on the basis of that commandment it is asked and answered, what does God require in the fourth commandment? First, that the ministry of the gospel and the schools be maintained, and that especially on the day of rest I diligently attend the church of God, to hear God's word, to use the sacraments, to call publicly upon the Lord, and to give Christian offerings for the poor. Second, that all the days of my life I rest from my evil works. Let the Lord work in me through His Holy Spirit, and so begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. After the preaching of the gospel, our Amen song is Psalm 92, stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 6. Psalm 92, stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 6 after the sermon. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, today is Sunday. And in the past, in our society, it was more or less universally recognized as a day of rest. And many went to church. Today, that is no longer the case. For many, Sunday is another day of work, or if they do not work, then they certainly don't come to church. The Sunday is used for all kinds of other recreational purposes and entertainment. And as God's people, it is important that we continue to celebrate the Sunday, particularly because so many around you no longer celebrate this day of rest, let alone come to church. And that's what we will be instructed in this afternoon under this theme and points. In the fourth commandment, God commands His people to celebrate the day of rest. And we'll see two things. First of all, the basis of this day of rest. And secondly, the celebration of this day of rest. So the theme in the fourth commandment, God commands His people to celebrate the day of rest. We'll see, first of all, the basis of this day of rest. And secondly, the celebration of this day of rest. So first of all, the basis of this day of rest. You probably know, in the Old Testament, God's law, the Ten Commandments, they come in two different passages. There's Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy chapter 5. And if you put the two copies of the law next to each other, you will notice that mostly they are exact copies of each other. But in connection with the fourth commandment, there are a number of differences between the two versions of the law in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. And these differences, congregation, they help to show the rich significance of the day of rest which God commanded His people to celebrate. So in the first place, the law in Exodus mentions that God's people must work 6 days and rest the seventh, because in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Consider what happened in the beginning. God had spent 6 days creating the heavens and the earth and all that is in them. And finally, on the sixth day, God had also created man and woman. And He had given them a task in this wonderful creation. They were told to be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. They were commanded to have dominion over all creation. And then on the seventh day, God did something different. God made that day itself into a special day. We read that God blessed that day and sanctified it. And when God blesses something, there are positive results. The animals are blessed and they are able to reproduce. God promised to bless Sarah, and in that context it meant he would cause her to give birth to a son. God blesses a field, and the result is the field producing a crop. For God to bless the seventh day means that he endows that day with a power so that it is beneficial to man. That was the day in which man was able to rest from his daily labor. That was the day in which man was able to be refreshed from his after his daily work. So the day was blessed. The day was also hallowed, sanctified. To sanctify something means to set it aside for the service of the Lord. When the priests or the utensils of the tabernacle were sanctified, it meant that they were separated from everyday use and dedicated to God. And the seventh day was sanctified. It was not to be like the other days, but this was a day dedicated to the Lord. Man had received the command from the Lord to work. 6 days a week he was to fulfill that command of the Lord to have dominion over the earth, to develop the earth. But it was not an endless task. 1 day a week was set aside. God blessed it and sanctified it, beneficial for man, and set aside for God. And so once every week man was able to celebrate with the Lord. For remember, once God had created all things, then he rested from his work of creating. It doesn't mean that God's work of creating made him tired, but simply that God ceased from his work of creation. God could now enter into the joy of his completed work. He had created a beautiful universe, and once it was finished, God was able to rejoice in that which he had created. That is the rest which God entered into. So every week, man would busy himself for 6 days with his work. But on the seventh day, he would be able to share in God's rest. He would be able to lay aside his daily labors and rejoice with God in God's handiwork, in the work that he himself had been able to do in the week past. And after the fall, things changed. Man no longer deserved to live in the joy of God's completed work. He was sent out of the garden. He was expelled from the enjoyment of God's rest. Now man had to work hard to keep himself alive. He had to battle thorns and thistles, and it would be in the sweat of his brow that he would eat bread. A curse came over creation. And yet, God showed himself amazingly merciful. There was also the promise of restoration of that rest for man. In the first place, the Sabbath day, the day of rest, remained. Also after the fall, the Sabbath day remained a day that the Lord had blessed and hallowed. It remained a day for the good of man. And furthermore, God also promised to redeem man, to free him from the bondage to the evil one. In a nutshell, God promised man the removal of the curse and the restoration of that paradise situation. And that recreational work of God, that God works recreation, promises that, is also reflected in the fourth commandment. And that's why I said earlier we have to realize there are differences between Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5, and that comes out in Deuteronomy 5 because there a different reason is given for celebrating the Sabbath day. And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, we read there. And the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. So in Deuteronomy, the people are told that the Sabbath had to be celebrated also because of Israel's deliverance from Egypt. And think about it, that deliverance from Egypt, it was typical. It was a picture of the deliverance from sin. As we hear it whenever there is a baptism and the prayer before baptism. You have drowned Pharaoh and all his host in the Red Sea, but led your people Israel through the midst of the sea on dry ground, by which baptism was signified. The deliverance from Egypt, which Israel was to remember on the Sabbath day, that deliverance was symbolical of their being delivered from sin and made into a special people of God. And what did God do for that people whom he redeemed from Egypt? Did he just leave them to wander off and make their own future? No, he brought that people into the promised land. He allowed them in the promised land a foretaste of his eternal rest. There in the promised land, they could enjoy houses that they did not build, vineyards they did not plant, a land flowing with milk and honey. In a very dim way, the land of Canaan foreshadowed the glory of paradise restored. It pointed ahead to the glorious rest that God's people would once more share with God. And so when you consider the places where the day of rest, the fourth commandment, is given, Exodus 20, Deuteronomy 5, you conclude there is a twofold purpose for the celebration of the Sabbath, of the day of rest. On the one hand, there is the remembrance of God's work of creation, the remembering and the celebrating that one day was made different from the other days, that it was blessed, that it would have beneficial results for man, and that that day was hallowed so that it might be dedicated to God, dedicated to the service of God. And on the other hand, the Sabbath is also the remembrance of the deliverance from Egypt, symbolical of God's work of recreation as he began to restore man to the enjoyment of God's rest, something that was already given in foretaste in the promised land. And so, congregation, creation and recreation are the things that are to be remembered on the day of rest. And in that context, see the glorious work of your Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. For he came to earth to restore God's rest in its fullness. He came to remove the curse so that men might once more enter into the rest of God. He came to remove sin, and he brought rest to God's people. He died on the cross and then rose from the dead. And it's through the work of our Lord Jesus Christ that the Sabbath rest was changed from the seventh day to the first day of the week. He brought rest, true rest for God's people, by rising from the dead, and he rose on the first day of the week. It is this day that our Lord Jesus Christ used to distribute the wonderful benefits of his completed work for our salvation. He revealed himself to his disciples on that first day of the week. On that day, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Here our Lord Jesus Christ gave his disciples the authority to proclaim the forgiveness of sins on the basis of his finished salvation work. And they were appointed to that task on the first day of the week. Thomas, who wasn't with them at the time, he had to wait for a full week until the following first day of the next week before he too could be confirmed in the knowledge that Jesus Christ had really risen from the dead. And then the exalted Lord poured out his Spirit on Pentecost on the first day of the week. Again, the wonderful benefits of Christ's work were distributed to his people on the first day of the week. And so we read about the disciples and the churches meeting for worship and the celebration of the sacraments on the first day of the week. That was the day that Christ was pleased to use to distribute the benefits of his completed work. He had obtained rest for his people, the rest from sin, and this benefit was distributed on the first day of the week. So the church today celebrates not the seventh day of the week anymore as the day of rest, but the first day of the week. It celebrates this day on the basis of the completed work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember the Sabbath day, the rest day, to keep it holy, our God commands us in His law. And in response to what our Lord Jesus Christ has done, we keep the first day of the week as the day of rest, as the Sabbath day. We begin our week with the celebration of the day of rest, looking back upon Christ's completed work. And that brings us to our second point, the celebration of this day of rest. What does the fourth commandment require of you? Asked this Lord's Day. And then in its answer, it speaks about especially on the day of rest. By speaking in this way, it underlines that the resting of one day out of seven has not been abolished. There remains a weekly Sabbath, a weekly rest day. And so we continue to keep the fourth commandment also by laying aside our daily labors and physically resting. The Lord commands you to enjoy refreshment so that you are given new energy for the work that lies before you in the rest of the week. The day of rest which God blessed continues to be a source of benefit for God's people. But then there is also so much more to celebrating this day than just ceasing from work. For there is that celebration of the completed work of our Lord Jesus Christ. You, congregation, are to remember your deliverance out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And that's why you must do more than just take it easy on the Sunday. That's what many in our society do. Sunday is a day of sport and recreation. It's a day to do all the things which there was not time for during the week, to renovate the bathroom, to do some gardening, even just to sleep in and have a lazy day. Now, your Sunday is not just a day of rest. It is a day to celebrate the completion of the work of our Lord Jesus Christ in obtaining that eternal rest for us. And to do that, you need to hear God's word. That's how you are able to enjoy true rest. You need to focus on Christ's work, on what He has done. He has saved us from the curse that we brought upon ourselves through our sin in Adam. He redeems us from that so that we can live and work in creation under His blessing. That's why you need to hear the word of God, congregation. Jesus Christ has delivered you from the bondage to sin and its power. You need to remember that. You need to focus on that, to be comforted and assured of that. And that's why you're called together to assemble, to hear God's word. That's how you truly enjoy rest. That's why the first thing that the Catechism explains this commandment requires is that the ministry of the gospel and the schools be maintained. For God's people to enjoy true rest, the ministry of the gospel and the schools must be maintained. To keep this commandment, God's people must make sure that the preaching of the gospel takes place. That's why a congregation supports a minister. It's why you have a place of worship. These things cost money. Moreover, the Catechism speaks about the schools being maintained. In the first instance, this is a reference to the theological schools. Men need to be trained in order to preach the gospel, that glorious gospel of the completed work of Jesus Christ. As Paul so clearly wrote to Timothy, "The things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." It was necessary that Timothy himself teach other men about the gospel so that they would be equipped to teach others. God's people need to enjoy true rest. The church has the responsibility of training a new generation of preachers. That's why it's important that the churches have a theological college, if that is not feasible, to support one. That's why our support of the theological training in Hamilton, beloved, is a matter of keeping the fourth commandment. It's for us to see to it that the work of training future ministers can be continued. For that instruction too costs money. Then there is also fund for needy students, so that financial restraints don't prevent someone from preparing for the ministry. God's people must do what they can to make sure that the ministry of the gospel continues. Do you willingly support that work with your prayers and your finances? Do you pray for the well-being of the College of Theological Training? There's an ongoing need for ministers of the Word. To maintain the ministry of the gospel, we also need young men who prepare themselves for that task. Here too, we have a task in seeing to it that the ministry of the gospel be maintained. Don't lightly dodge the question, young men. Do you have talents that could be put to use in that glorious task of proclaiming the completed work of our Lord Jesus Christ? And then there's all the work on the mission fields too. Now, the schools refers firstly to the theological schools, but also has implications for the Reformed primary and high schools. Historically, it has also been understood as referring to them, and there is good reason for that. Firstly, because equipping for good ministers did not begin at theological college, but a lot earlier. Timothy was trained in the scriptures from childhood. Theological education needs to be built on solid schooling. There's a book called Why Johnny Can't Preach. The reason given in that book is that Johnny can't preach because Johnny can't read. And by that is not meant that Johnny can't make sense of a book, but that learning to read well, deeply, analytically, and so on, serves the study and preaching of the Word of God. The foundations for learning to read well come already at school. To maintain the ministry of the gospel, you need to also be concerned that the children of the church are being taught to read well. Another reason why Reformed schooling is important for the enjoyment of rest and the welfare of the church is that the church needs elders who can think deeply and analytically and can properly supervise the preaching and teaching of the minister. That prevents the church from becoming a one-man show. When Paul preached the gospel to the Jews in Berea, then we read that they went home and examined the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. That's how they worked with the preaching and were built up and convinced that Jesus is the Christ. For people to enjoy rest, they need to be able to listen to preaching and go to work with it. Reformed education becomes an important part of equipping God's people so that they benefit from the ministry of the gospel and go to work with it in their daily lives. Catechism also lists other things that are to be done in keeping this commandment. We are to use the sacraments. Here too, beloved, we celebrate the rest that we have. Whenever a child is baptized, God the Father declares to the child that he adopts him or her as his child and heir. Children of the church are heirs of eternal life. God says to them, "You will inherit my rest." Yes, there is need for faith. We sung from Psalm 95. There we are warned not to follow the disobedient example of our forefathers, the children of Israel in the desert. Not all of them entered into the rest of the promised land, even though God had promised it to them. And why did they not enter in? Because of unbelief. They refused to believe that God would deliver on his promises. They refused to believe that God would bring them into the promised land. And so God swore to them in his wrath, we sang, "They shall never enter my rest." So we are warned about the seriousness of not believing God when he promises us that we are heirs of eternal life. Those who refuse to believe God when he says to them that they are heirs of his rest are the ones who will not enjoy that eternal rest in heaven. And that refusal also comes out in a refusal to live the obedient life that is characteristic of those whom God has made his heirs. That's the serious calling that comes to all of us in baptism. This commandment also requires us to celebrate the Holy Supper. There in two congregation, we celebrate the rest that Christ has brought to us. We partake of Christ. And through this union with Christ, we are nourished unto everlasting life. God's rest that we will one day enjoy in heaven, that we already begin to enjoy in this life through participation by faith in Christ. And the Lord's Supper signifies and seals that to us. We are to call publicly upon the name of the Lord. One of the texts given in our catechism is 1 Timothy 2, verse 1, where Paul instructs Timothy to make supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. One of the purposes of our praying together as congregation is so that the church may continue to live a quiet and peaceable life. And is that not indeed what happens? That we regularly ask the Lord in congregational prayers to guide the rulers of our land in such a way that we might continue to have freedom to serve Him, freedom to hear the gospel of Christ proclaimed. We are also to give Christian offerings for the poor. And that too, congregation, is connected to celebrating our rest. On the first day of the week, we give generously so that none within the church needs to live uncomforted under the pressures of sickness, loneliness, and poverty. Thus, we can all rejoice at the riches that flow out of the rest obtained for us by our Lord Jesus Christ. Once a week, we obey the command to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Every Sunday anew, we lay aside our daily labors and enjoy rest. And then we also go to church. And so the Sunday does more than just allowing us rest from physical work. For going to church allows us to celebrate the rest that Christ obtained for us through His completed work. He has risen from the dead. And so we too are able to live a new life of good works in the service of God. And that life, that new life we have in Christ, it's worked and strengthened through the word and sacraments that we use Sunday by Sunday. Yes, we celebrate a weekly Sabbath so that we can enjoy a spiritual Sabbath, that resting from all our evil works. We celebrate the rest that is ours in Christ. And then you see, congregation, more the seriousness of a society that no longer honors the Sunday as a day of rest and worship. No longer do they listen to God's word being proclaimed. No longer do they make use of the sacraments. Thus, there is less and less celebration of the spiritual rest from evil works. For the weekly Sabbath is not being used as it was ordained. It's a curse on our society as a whole that the weekly Sabbath is violated. Let us speak to our neighbors about these things. Also, when we discuss growing wickedness in our society, it's closely connected to the lack of church attendance on Sundays. Therefore, celebrate the day of rest that God gives you, beloved. Let the keeping of the Sabbath day never become a burden, but always a joyous requirement. And then let us also celebrate the rest we have received in Christ, who has died on the cross for our sins, who was raised up so that we might inherit eternal life. Celebrate the Sunday by coming to church. This congregation, celebrate the Sunday. To celebrate takes effort and energy. You'd be considered a party pooper if you attended a wedding celebration so tired that you fell asleep during the festivities. Now, you'd want to be fresh. You want to have energy to share the joy of the bride and groom, to celebrate with them and for them. Why then? We should make sure that we are fresh, have energy when we celebrate the day of rest. Celebrate the completion of Christ's work for us. You know yourself, beloved, what time you should be in bed on Saturday night so that you are fresh for the celebrations of the Sunday.
so that you are alert and awake in the worship services. And let us look forward to finally entering the rest of God forever. As we read in Hebrews, there remains a rest for the people of God. Today we enjoy a weekly Sabbath as we rest from our daily work. On that day we go to church to celebrate the rest that has been obtained through Christ's completed work, so that we once more are made heirs of eternal life, heirs of God's rest. This rest we already begin to enjoy today as we put aside our evil works, as we live the life of obedience, the life of the believer that will remain unto all eternity. And soon we will fully enter God's rest. God will bring us into paradise, a renewed earth with the curse of sin removed. On the new heavens and earth, we will once more, unencumbered by sin, be able to rejoice with God in His completed work. And that is His completed work of creation and recreation. Let the celebration of every Sunday, beloved, be a foretaste of this eternal rest. Amen.
consistory has, following announcement, the consistory has nominated the following brothers to the office of deacon, Brother Ray Huizinga and Brother G. Vanderwall. Elections will take place on Sunday, the 10th of March, after the morning service. Congregation, let us now draw near to the Lord in prayer. We thank you that we could be encouraged in our celebration of the weekly day of rest this afternoon, O Lord God. Grant that this day may indeed be a blessing for us, that we may receive new strength and energy for our task in the coming week. We pray too that we may rejoice to use the day of rest to come to church, to celebrate the rest that our Lord Jesus Christ obtained for us by dying for our sins and making us heirs of eternal life. And Father, we this afternoon also remember before you the work done at the Theological College in Hamilton so that the ministry of the gospel might continue. Give us all that we need to support this work with prayers, encouragement, and financially. Bless the work of the professors, that they may be able to show to the students how to effectively and accurately explain and proclaim your word to your people. Father, grant that also through the labors of the college, the ministry of the gospel may continue. Bless the work that is done at the Christian schools too. May the students there too be instructed in your word, learning how to apply it to all facets of their life. May they be equipped to use their talents in your service in the midst of society. And grant too that there may also be those young men who use their talents to prepare for the ministry of the word. Be pleased to use also the Christian schools to prepare them for this, O Lord. And also grant that through the work of the Christian schools, young people may be equipped who later on will be elders and deacons, who can also serve in the offices in the congregation with discernment and understanding. Grant too that reformed education may equip the youth to be able to listen properly in church and apply what they hear in a life of godliness. Grant too that we may willingly support this work, that we may do all we can to support reformed education for the future of the church and the effectiveness of the ministry of the gospel. And Father, we pray that you would bless the weekly instruction of the catechism students. Grant that also in this training they may be equipped to serve you, to confess the truth of your word in the midst of this world. And Lord, we pray that you would bless us in this week that lies before us. Strengthen and guide the office bearers as they do their visits. Lord, will you bless the various study societies, be with all the activities that take place in the midst of the congregation. Bless us in our daily work, that we may serve you faithfully, that we may seek the coming of your kingdom and the glory of your name wherever you place us. Bless our homes, that they may be places where the gospel is used to build each other up, to train a new generation, to give glory to your name, to serve our neighbor. Father, will you bring us together again next week, Sunday, to once more listen to your word proclaimed. In Christ Jesus' name we pray all this. Amen. Let us rise and sing together our final song, Psalm 84, stanzas 3, 4, 5, and 6. receive the blessing of our triune God and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.